This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, last week we talked about a very important passage. We're coming up to the final, the very last Galatian sermon series will be on Easter Sunday, and that will be the culmination of boasting on the cross. And I can't believe that Easter's right around the corner, and I'm so excited because of all the Sundays, we can boast in what Jesus did and what happened on Easter Sunday. It's going to be a phenomenal time of celebration, and it fits perfectly with our last sermon series in Galatians. So that would be part 17. We've done 17 weeks of Galatians, so I kind of wish we had that book so we can hold on to it and then just put it in our bookcase to rejoice in what God has shared and showed us the last 17 weeks as a church. Last week, we talked about restoring a brother. It said very carefully, restoring someone that has lost its way. Have you ever had to do that? A lot of people in my church, when I was growing up, had to constantly bring restoration. Sometimes it came in a form of a rebuke, a correction, and sometimes it came with just a kind gesture. How can I pray with you? And every time I look back at my life for someone who loved me enough to correct me, like you do your kids. I imagine you correct your kids all the time if you have children. They loved me enough to bring correction, and they did it in a way that was very scriptural. And so last week I talked about people in my youth pastor, Rick Bussey and Chuck Benham. They did a phenomenal job of doing that. And the NLT says, "Dear brothers," in chapter 6, "if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself." Last week I shared a story about one time I saw a person who was a believer mistreat another person. And it offended me so much that I did not do it well, and I brought correction in. I was not very nice, and I myself fell into that category of being sinful and not doing it in the right way. And so we have to be careful, make sure we do it in a way that brings glory to God and not give people the opportunity to fall into sin like I did. And even though that person, what they were doing, they were mistreating another person, and it was egregious, it's not right for me to be egregious in bringing correction. So I'm very grateful to those who actually love me enough to say, "You know what, Mario, what you were doing and your attitude or your behavior or your lifestyle is not right." And I look back, and I didn't like it at first, but I knew that they did it out of love, and they did it with humility. "Dear brothers and sisters, if any other believers overcome by sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." And that's the goal, not to somehow hold it over them, not to somehow bring an attitude of superiority. "I'm going to teach you." That's not the goal. That's not how it's done. The goal and how it's done is gently and humbly and help them back onto the right path. One of our biggest challenges is that, and especially in the world that I live in with young adults, is how do you bring correction without someone feeling like you're overbearing? And that's a fine line. You know, when we have to tell someone that, getting drunk is not part of the fruit of the Spirit, and it's not character of Christ. And then with young adults in campus ministries, we've heard stories of people say, "Well, who are you to tell me that? I think you're being overbearing on me." And so it's like, whoa. So it's been difficult these days in campus ministry, how to gently and love someone. But I think if we can make sure we know that the goal is to bring them back to the right path. And then it says in verse 2, share each other's burdens, and in that way obey the law of Christ. Sharing burdens is the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, verse 3, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. And so the Lord called us last week as a church to be in the lookout, not to find people's faults, but be in the lookout how to help people get back to the right path. How do we help people get back to the right path? And the right path is always towards Jesus. It's always towards Jesus. And then in verse 4, it says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each other's responsible for our own conduct. And so this is what a Spirit-led church does, is that if we see someone off the right track, we check our hearts and we ask the Lord to make sure we have the right motive for bringing a correction or putting an arm around someone's shoulder and saying, hey, you're on the wrong path. Because there is a way that might seem right to a man, but the end leads to what? It leads to death. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about what seems right. It doesn't necessarily mean what is right. And that's our challenge in our culture, is that we are mathematicians. We do the equations, and sometimes the equations don't add up to what we think the scripture says, or we know the equation of the scripture, and it doesn't seem to do exactly what it says. And so we come up with our own math, our spiritual math. We'll talk about that in a second. And so the big challenge for all of us is that let's be careful not to fall into the same temptation as like I shared that story. I want to show you a picture. We're going to move on to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Sowing and reaping is real. Is that picture up? Okay, we'll get there in a second. We can leave it there. Verse 6. Of Galatians chapter 6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Let me repeat that. You will always harvest what you plant. You reap what you sow. Have you ever heard of that? Yes, and let me just tell you, that is the God-honest truth. Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. Help me this morning to convey the truth that you want us to learn. Not only convey the truth, but Lord, help us to allow that truth to permeate our hearts, our spirit, that it would express itself in action. Lord, help us not just to be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Lord, help us to be like that person who builds his house on the rock of obedience and not the rock of the sand of disobedience. So help us this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody said, typically, and I won't share too much, but those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And Paul is challenging the church to support the local church, in Galatians. And so, but I don't really want to focus on that right now, but I want to talk to you about the truth. And the title of today is Sowing and Reaping is Real. And if you can't remember anything I say this morning, remember that sowing and reaping is real. And so in the New Living Translation, it says, those who live to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Just remember that. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, why am I showing this picture? When I was a young boy, I did something similar to this. On television with me and my buddies, but we were not together. They watched it on their own TVs. We watched this guy named Evel Knievel. Anybody know who Evel Knievel is? Yeah, not everybody does. That's how old I'm getting. And Evel Knievel was this guy on a motorcycle, and he would jump like 20 buses. You know, he'd be in a stadium, and the place would be packed, and he'd come down on his motorcycle, and he'd on this ramp and jump 20 buses and make it on the other end. But he's also known for not making it, and he has had some wicked wrecks, and you could see them, I'm sure, on YouTube. Well, I saw Evel Knievel on television, so I thought to myself, if he could do that, I could do that. And so it seemed like Evel Knievel was defying gravity. I mean, the height and the length was just impressive, especially on a 13-inch black and white television. I mean, it just looked impressive. And so back in those days, they didn't do this. They should have, but they didn't. They don't have little warnings like, do not try this at home. Matter of fact, I think it had the opposite effect. The opposite effect was all of us young kids thought, do this at home. And so I did this. I lived on 2nd Street in Huntington Station, Long Island, and a few of my neighborhood buddies, we got together, and we started looking around for some lumber, and we started looking around for some bricks or blocks or rocks, and we decided to make a ramp, very similar to this. My bicycle was very similar to this. I had a banana seat, and I had a big high handlebars. And I remember I needed some speed, so I lived on a hill, so I wanted to go downhill and hit the ramp. So my friends and I, we built the ramp. I was on my bicycle. Now, you may not know this, but I've shared this a few times. I was pretty poor, so my bicycle was a Frankenstein. It was pieces from this bike, pieces from that bike, you know, tires, chains, the whole bit. It was never a brand new bike. It was parts of a bike. And so I decided to go down, no helmet, no elbow guards, no mouth guard, nothing. You know, if Evel Knievel could do it, I could too. And so I'm riding as fast as I can because I was thinking that I too can defy gravity. And as soon as I hit that ramp, I knew enough to lift up the front wheel because you don't want to land on your front wheel. You want to land on the back wheel to take the impact, and then you can bring your front wheel down. And so when I hit that ramp, I lifted up. And when I lifted up, I yanked the handlebars right off my bike. This is a true story. And I did everything I could to save my moneymaker, my face. And so I was scarred up and beat up, and my lip was busted. And what I failed to recognize is that you can't fight gravity. You can't fight gravity. I didn't take it serious enough. I thought I could play with it. I thought I knew what I was doing, and I didn't. And that's the thing I think the Lord wants to share with us this morning, is that we cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always reap what you sow. If we can't remember anything I'm saying, is just like we cannot fight gravity, we cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. If you were with us years ago, we did the whole series on the book of Daniel, actually chapter 1 through 9. And remember that God had warned the people of Israel and told them how to live and what to do. And if they didn't, they would be punished. And they were. And Daniel was a result, him being in another land, was a result of people being disobedient. And again, you cannot mock the justice of God. Now, if you remember, if you were here, I remember asking you, is God truth? And everybody said, yes. Does God keep his word? Yes. And then he does keep his word, you know, and he always keeps his word. And the Israelites failed to remember that God always keeps his word. Now, one of the things I told a young family that was asking for some desperate parenting help, and we are not experts, my wife and I, but I remember saying this, keep your word. Keep your word. If you say you cannot have that tablet all weekend out of, you know, because of if they don't do something, and then keep your word. The worst thing you can do is not keep your word. Of course, you want to make the punishment appropriate, and you want it to be well thought out of, but whatever you do, don't lie. Don't give false statements. And I'm here to tell you that you cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And this is what Paul is telling the church in Galatians. And he's saying, basically, don't test God. He'll always, always be true. I always get questions about theological questions, and sometimes they're not easy theological questions. But I can always tell you this, that God is true, that God is good. You know, in weeks past, I talked about the whole Aslan story. Is he nice? Who said anything about nice? But he is good. He is good and he's kind. But he's always just. And so, again, if we can't remember anything, is that you always reap what we sow. So it brings us to verse 9. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And this is where that formula comes in. I think too many of my brothers and sisters in Christ who started out with me, or the campus ministry brothers and sisters in Christ, I sometimes feel like they gave up too soon because in their minds, the math equation of reaping and sowing had to happen, and they've added a variable of time frame. You know, why did this happen, or why didn't this happen, you know, in my 20s? Or why did this happen in my 30s? Or what's going on? What happened in my 40s? And we can go on. And I'm here to tell you and encourage you that God always speaks the truth. And Paul is saying to the church, and he's saying to us, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. I have been at that line of being tired of doing good. And I imagine some of you have as well. And I'm here hopefully to encourage you, don't get tired to the point where you give up. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And I will say that Paul is telling the church, and he's telling us that sowing in the Spirit, planting seeds in the Spirit, to the Spirit, is not easy, because that means you have to deny yourself. That means putting yourself second to the Spirit's will, which I find sometimes not easy, and at least for me. In Galatians 1 chapter before, it says this, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So there's this war going on. Your sinful or your flesh desires and your spirit. And Paul is telling us, don't get tired of doing what is good. And at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I've shared this many times in my relationship. Robin and I, there have been times it's been rocky. And I remember pre-Maylis that I really thought we're not going to make it. I thought seriously that we were going to, we're just not going to survive as a marriage. And the Lord rebuked us both, rebuked me, and encouraged me. This verse came to mind, don't get tired of doing what is good. Doing what is good. Try not to think about it too much, but I can't imagine what my life would have been like without my daughter, which would have meant without my kids, which would have meant without you. I mean, just start thinking about how the domino effect of a person's obedience or giving up too soon. So I thank the Lord for his Holy Spirit to help me. Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, one of the challenges is that we don't see the reaping right away, right? I've done this before. I was a kid. You ever done Miracle Grow on a plant? You know, it's like, hurry up. You know, I got a class project. This thing needs to be 6 inches high, and it's got to be presented in a way that will give me a good grade, and it didn't happen. So a lot of times we get given up. We give up because of the timing of it. And the Bible says, at the right time, we will reap a harvest. And there's an element of trust, that God's word is true, that God is true, his word is true. And so even my little example of my rocky marriage up front, it didn't seem like there was a light at the end of the tunnel, but we just had to just trust the Lord. And at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And I think, at least I can say for myself, and I imagine my extended family, my kids have been a tremendous blessing to us. And I thank the Lord for giving us the spirit of keep doing what is good. Jesus' whole life was devoted to sowing to the spirit and not the flesh. How does he do that? How can we do that? Well, we can fix our eyes, as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, the joy that was set before him. One of the biggest challenges I have, and maybe you have as well, is to see the big picture, to see the long picture. And I imagine all of us, if we're still here on earth, we're going to go through challenges in our lives. And I'm here to encourage you, don't give up. At the right time, you're going the sowing of being faithful to the Lord, sowing and spending time with Jesus, sowing into his kingdom, sowing into the body of Christ, doing all those right things. In the right time, God will honor that and you will reap a harvest. Now, I don't know exactly what that harvest means, but I know that God's word is always true. He does not lie. The Bible, again, you remember it says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So the joy of the harvest is pleasing the Father. Paul is challenging the church, the Galatians, to not lose sight. Don't get blinded. Don't do your own math. Don't give up. Don't lose sight. God will not be mocked. So we don't sow in the flesh, we sow in the spirit. Honoring and pleasing God should be our chief concern. So in my rocky marriage, I really did love Jesus. I just didn't know how to love my wife really well at the time. And I asked the Lord to give me his love for her. You know, I've shared this weeks prior that when, just like someone who gets adopted into the family, and we've had some kids get adopted in the family, they bring in a culture that, you know, they weren't raised in the family, so they're bringing stuff into the family that has to be altered most of the time. And I too, even though I was in the family of God, even though God, Jesus adopted me into his family, I had baggage. I had lots of baggage. And Jesus, because he loved me, brought me into the family, put me into a church that knew how to gently and lovingly correct me and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to chisel away the sin barnacles that had attached to my life. And I was still had some of that bringing into my marriage. But I wanted to honor the Lord. I wanted to live for him. And so I am grateful that the Lord was able to use people to help me to become the man of God that he wanted me to be. So we don't sow in the flesh, but we sow in the spirit. And our desire should be to please God. That should be our chief concern. So it's future oriented. We're sowing for the future. We're sowing for the future. We're investing now for what we believe God will bring to harvest down the road. But this is a strong warning. It's a passage and it points us to the future. We must, and I will encourage you this, we must maintain an eternal perspective. And we've shared this in the past as well, but what we do in sowing and reaping has generational effects. Has generational effects. I'm a product of generational effects. But thank the Lord that he intervened and adopted me. And so now I have different generational effects. But how I'm living, how you're living, not only affects your people around you, not just your kids, but their kids and their kids. And so that's why it's important that we don't give up. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We know that Jesus, God cannot be mocked. And so we want to do what's good to please the Father. So we have to have an eternal perspective, and especially what we do with our lives, our time, and our money. Now, in the beginning, it talks about those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. And if you read the rest, we'll do the rest in a few weeks, but it talks about supporting the ministry. And I think we have one of the best churches. John reminded me, rightly so, that the offerings and the supports that you give to the church isn't just going so we can turn on the lights, but we support missionaries all over the world. We do support local ministries that are feeding the poor. And so, beautiful little girl's coming down. I'm not used to Charlotte being so tall. I'm still used to her crawling. Making a world impact and a local impact. And providing for people, even in our own church, that have needs. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. Christ is the great, and we talked about this last week, Christ is the great burden bearer. From his own wealth, from out of his own wealth, he shares with us. What does he share with us? Forgiveness. Identity. Redemption. Cleansing. I think sometimes we've lost focus on the cleansing part. I think maybe we downplay our sinfulness and we don't understand it. But if you get a glimpse of your sinfulness, then you're just overwhelmed by the love of Jesus and his cleansing power. He forgives us. He gives us identity, redemption, cleansing. He pardons us. He brings us freedom. He gives us purpose. He restores us, gives us new life. He adopts people like me into the family. If you would have read my resume, if like as a potential person for a candidate of adoption into a church family, I would not have made it. But God loved me past my resume. He loved me past my resume, and he provided a church that knew how to bring correction with love and humility. And taught me the word of God as I'm trying to teach us the word of God. He gives us forgiveness, identity, redemption. He pardons us, provides freedom. He provides purpose, restoration, hope, and a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ. And I thank the Lord for that, because my old life without Christ was not on the right path. I was lost. And many of you are the same way, right? We were all lost, whether you recognize it or not. And we were all on the same path, walking to a path of destruction. And thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Amen? All right, let me just repeat last thing. Don't forget, we can't fight gravity. So don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. Thank you for, out of your wealth, Lord, providing for us. You truly were bearing our burden, Lord, that we had, and you brought us into your family, and you gave us hope, salvation, freedom, purpose. So we say thank you, Lord. Help us to never take lightly the truth, your truth. And Lord, help us never get tired of doing what is good. Lord, because we know that when we do those things, we bring you honor and glory. And Lord, your promise is that we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Lord, I pray for every person here, every family here. Lord, I pray that they would learn to go to you, to repent when repentance is needed. And Lord, that they would find your forgiveness in Jesus' name. And Lord, that you would find your embrace. Lord, help us to always run to you. Keep our eyes on you and have eternal perspective. We say thank you, Lord. Help us this week, God, to live out this truth. Help us to live out this truth that, Lord, we reap what we sow. So, Lord, help us sow in the Spirit. Help us to sow in the Spirit. Help us to sow good things. And not only in our lives, but those around us. Let us bring you the greatest glory. And we trust that harvest will come in your right time. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.